namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 9, Text 11. Tvam word for word. Tvam unto you, bhakti yoga, in devotional service, paribhavita, being 100% engaged, rit of the heart. Saroje, on the lotus. Ase, you reside. Shruta ikshita, seen through the ear. Pata, the path. Nanu, now. Nata, O my Lord. Pumsam, of the devotees. Yat, yat, whichever. Dia, by meditating. Te, your. Urugaya, O multi-glorious. Vibhavayanti, they specifically think of. Tat, tat, the very same. Vapu, transcendental form. Pranayase, do you manifest? Sat anugrahaya, to show your causeless mercy. Translation. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Translation, please repeat. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Purport. The statement here that the Lord manifests himself before the devotee in the form in which the devotee likes to worship him indicates that the Lord becomes subordinate to the desire of the devotee, so much so that he manifests his particular form as the devotee demands. This demand of the devotee is satisfied by the Lord because he is pliable in terms of the transcendental loving service of the devotee. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Ye yatam ram prapadyante tam stathava bhajam yaham. We should note, however, that the Lord is never the order supplier of the devotee. Here in this verse, it is particularly mentioned, Tvam Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita. This indicates the efficiency achieved through execution of matured devotional service or prema, love of God. This state of prema is achieved by the gradual process of development from faith to love. On faith, one associates with bona fide devotees. And by such association, one can become engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation and the execution of the primary devotional duties prescribed in the revealed scriptures. This is clearly indicated herein by the word shrutekshita. The shrutekshita path is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. By this bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish, and thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord as described in the Vedas. This attachment of the devotee to a particular form of the Lord is due to natural inclination. Each and every living entity is originally attached to a particular type of transcendental service because he is eternally the servitor of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya says that the living entity is eternally a servitor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. Therefore, every living entity has a particular type of service relationship with the Lord eternally. This particular attachment is invoked by the practice of regulative devotional service to the Lord. And thus the devotee becomes attached to the eternal form of the Lord, exactly like one who is already eternally attached. This attachment for a particular form of the Lord is called Swarup Siddhi. The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form of the pure... The Lord sits on the lotus heart of the devotee in the eternal form the pure devotee desires. And thus the Lord does not part from the devotee as confirmed in the previous verse. The Lord, however, does not disclose himself to a casual or inauthentic worshipper to be exploited. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7.25, Naham prakasa sarvasya yogamaya samavrita. Rather, by yogamaya, the Lord remains concealed to the non-devotees or casual devotees who are serving their sense gratification. The Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees who worship the demigods in charge of universal affairs. The conclusion is that the Lord cannot become the order supplier of a pseudo-devotee, but he is always prepared to respond to the desire of a pure, unconditional devotee who is free from all tinges of material infection. Tham bhakti yoga paribhavita ritsa roja ase sutek chita pato nanunata pumsam yad yad diyatta urugaya vibhavayanti tad tad vapu pranayase sat anugrahaya. Translation. Oh, my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in a particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So this statement here, glorification by Lord Brahma, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We were saying yesterday that, of course, Lord Brahma is one of the great devotees. He is the head of our Sampradaya, Lord Brahma. He is Mahajan. So this is a very authoritative statement by the Lord Brahma. And Prabhupada gives elaborate purport. Lord Brahma himself gives a condition by which the Lord reveals himself. He says, you are so merciful, sat anugrahaya, to show your causeless mercy. You manifest yourself in a particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So this is, of course, and as Prabhupada explains, and Lord Brahma himself, he qualifies this his last statement in that he said, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and their hearts become cleansed, and then you take your seat there. Of course, the Lord is always there, but it's like that he's not fully manifest, and of course to the as mentioned here, Naham Prakasa Sarvas Yogamaya Shamavita Mudho Jam Namija Lokamam Ajamaviyam. This verse from Bhagavad Gita, Mudho, the Mudhos, the Mudhas, the ass like ignorant persons, he never manifests. He reserves the right. And as Prabhupada says, he is not just subject to whatever order you give him. He is fully independent, Atmarama, fully satisfied, fully independent, as he desires, he does. So he is not forced to be subjugated by anyone. We cannot, you know, sometimes, of course, people come and pray to God, and they pray for this and they pray for that and they pray for so many other things. They make their list, as if they make a big list, and here, God, I'm praying for these things. And of course, when God decides not to give those things, then they become angry. Why God didn't give? Why God did like that? What type of God is this? Sometimes God puts very elevated devotees in very precarious situations. Haridas Thakur, he, from his early youth, you know, again, actually, you know, it is mentioned that Lord Brahma, he came back as the Haridas Thakur. Why? Because actually, it's explained by the Acharyas, that in his Leela, in the Krishna Leela, Lord Brahma wanted to see if Lord Krishna was actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was just a small boy. The one time when Krishna was out with the cows and the calves, he decided to test him, and he took all the cows and calves and he hid them in the cave to see what the reaction of young boy Krishna would be. So he looked away, and then when he looked back, all of a sudden the cows and the calves were still there. And then, of course, later on, Krishna manifests himself in four-handed form within the forms of the cows and the calves. So Lord Brahma had the realization, oh, I think I've been very intelligent testing. I'm going to test the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by doing this trick. But later on, he was very ashamed. He was very ashamed that even though Lord Krishna forgave him, he showed him actually his position, that Lord Brahma remained very embarrassed and ashamed that he had developed this type of mentality. He prayed to the Supreme Personality of Godhead how to be freed from the false ego. How to be freed from the false ego. He prayed to him. So the Lord appeared to him and actually at one point manifest his form of Lord Gauranga and said, yes, in the future I will appear in this form. And I know what is in your heart that you are feeling because of your high position. You made an offense. And actually Lord Brahma was praying that to be freed from this pride that comes from high position and so on. He wanted to be in a situation where he could more or less be forced to be humble. The high position, you know, Jain Maheshwara Sutas, sometimes you get high birth. These can be causes of becoming very proud. You know, a big family, high aristocratic big Brahmin family, big name family. You can become very proud. Or you've got a lot of money, Jain Maheshwara. A lot of assets, a lot of money, you can become very puffed up. You got high education, BA, MA, PhD. You can become very puffed up. Of course, not everyone becomes, but it can be the cause of becoming very proud, thinking oneself very superior to everybody else. Very beautiful, very handsome. You can become very puffed up. Any of these things, and so many varieties of these things, one or two or all of them together. So Lord Brahma was in big position, so he fell. So Lord Chaitanya, he said to him, he manifests this form to him and said, in the future I will appear. So I'm creating a situation for you where you, instead of the high birth, you will get the low birth. And so in this way, you'll be forced to be humble. So it's actually in this way that Lord Brahma, his desire was fulfilled, that he wanted to be in a situation where he wouldn't become puffed up and he would be forced to be humble. So he came back as the Haridas Thakur. So of course Haridas Thakur, right from his early youth, he was very attached to chanting the holy names of the Lord and everywhere he would go. later on, of course, when he came to the Mayapur Nabadweep area, he would stay in a cave nearby, near Ranagat, and he would be chanting. And many people used to come and see him because they realized this is a great saint. He is always chanting, he's very detached. He left Thaimur, always detached, he's always chanting the whole, feeling great ecstasy. Many would come. This god, of course, came to the Qazi, who thought this man is born as Muslim, and now he's taking up the way of the Hindus. This is not very good. This is a bad example. Others may follow him. What will be the situation? So bring him here. And he, of course, we know the story. He said that you are high birth and Muslim family. Why are you taking the way of the Hindus? Stop this immediately or I'll punish you. I'll make an example of you also. No, everyone is inspired from within their hearts by God to worship him in a particular way. You worship in your way, others worship other way, I'm worshiping this way. If you don't stop, you will be very severely punished and you will be put to the death. We cannot tolerate this. What can I do? The Lord inspires everyone in the different ways. Take him. Beat him. Take him every marketplace to make an example of him, just in case someone else thinking, I will do the same thing. So they took him everywhere, beat him. And then beat him in such a way that in the end he will die. Throw him in the Ganga. So someone may think, why has God put his great devotee Haridas Thakur in such a situation? He is a great devotee. Why he did like that? What type of God is he? Sometimes we may think. Prahlad Maharaj, same. Young boy, 5-year-old boy. His father wanted to kill him. Tried so many ways. Throw him off the cliff. Imagine trying to throw the 5-year-old boy from the cliff. Still he did not. Throw him in the ocean. Stab him with the knives and the swords. And he would not die. Try to burn him with the fire. Imagine. We read these stories, but imagine. So one may think, what type of God is this? Young boy, great devotee. What type of God is this? So those with weak faith, they will go away. They will go away. You know, there was one story of Jesus that I've told a few times. That there was one disciple of Jesus. He was a very devout disciple. But he was always sick. Very, very sick. On the verge of the death. And no one could, you know, even though he went and they did different treatments, still no one could help him. So some of his friends said, let us take him to Jesus. He is performing the miracles and like that. So maybe he can help him. So they took him. And so Jesus looked at him and he understood the situation. He said, well, he has to do fasting for 40 days. No eating. Just drinking water, just fasting. Don't eat. Then after that, bring him back. So some were thinking, this: we brought him to Jesus to help. He's going to kill him. Already he's so weak. After 40 days fasting, he said. So some lost their faith in him. I'm not following Jesus anymore. I don't accept. But some left. But this man was very devout. He followed it. He followed that thing. And for 40 days... So then he went back to Jesus. Some friends also went. So Jesus said, oh, very good, he followed. Bring him, he said, boil some milk and put some honey inside. Bring in the cup. And he said, his friend said, take the milk, warm milk with the honey, hold it to his mouth, but don't let him drink. Just hold it in front of his mouth. Tell him to open his mouth, don't let him drink. So that friend is now he's torturing him. He's fasting, bringing him, and now he's not allowing him, he's torturing him. What type of Jesus is this? He lost his faith also. But that man, he followed him. Then after some long time, he just held it like this. After some time, some worm came out of his mouth. That was the problem. He had a big tapeworm in the stomach. And it came out because the tapeworm was also hungry. It was also doing fasting. So it smelt the worm, the worm smelt the milk with the honey, came out the mouth. And then when Jesus saw it just coming out, he pulled it, threw it down. He said, all right, now you can drink. And this will give you strength and health. So you see, we're very weak. So God sometimes puts the great devotees through very excruciating situations. But he also empowers them. We know with Haridas Thakur, they couldn't kill him. They were, and then the servants of the guy, they were very afraid. If we don't kill you, they said to him, you're not dying, we're beating you, you're not dying. If we don't kill you, then we will be put to the death. So Haridas Thakur, he's such a great devotee. I said, all right, I will die then. Just not to give you any inconvenience. So, of course, he didn't die, but he just fainted. He suspended his breathing and everything. Like that. They thought he was dead. They threw him in the car. Later, he came up and met with Lord Chaitanya. He said, when I was getting, I didn't feel anything. And Lord Chaitanya, yes, that's because I took the beatings. And he turned, he showed his back. He had the marks on his back. I took the beating. So God empowers how to tolerate these situations. And to show the example for us, because we have got very little faith, some difficulty comes along. We become very frustrated, we become angry. We want to blame Krishna, we want to blame the devotee, we want to go away. There was one story of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, actually, a very illustrative story, that when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was in the Bagh Bazar temple in Calcutta, every night he would give class. And, his disciples and some guests would come. One man was coming for a few nights. At the end of the class, then there was the questions, but he was being very aggressive and very challenging and even a little bit rude in the way he was asking the question. So some of the Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's disciples were getting a bit very upset with him. Why is he being so rude to our guru like that? Who is this man? They wanted to throw him out. But they saw that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is very calmly, he was just answering the questions. So they didn't take any action. So every night this would go on. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would just very calmly answer the questions. So the disciples didn't do it. Every night they wanted to throw him out. They didn't even want to let him in, but they let him in because they saw Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. Later on, when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta went on his balcony, he was looking out, one servant was there, and there was a big procession. And he said, what is that procession? And that disciple said, you know that man that used to come? He was very rude and he was asking the questions like that. He said, that is his funeral procession. And he said, just see, he got his reaction. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, he said, oh, don't talk like that. He said, God sent him to make me humble. Therefore, I see him as Krishna's representative. He is my master. This was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's mood. Very humble. So these are the very advanced devotees. Very, very advanced. Haridas Thakur, Prahlad Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And they have eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality. They have, they are in their relationship. Just like last week, was it? And the week before, of course, we were celebrating the appearance of Lord Ram. Last week we celebrated the appearance of Lord Hanuman. Hanuman the Great. So Hanuman is such a great devotee. He is always has great love for Lord Ram. And he likes to do Ram Kirtan, chanting the names of Ram. And he said, I know that Lakshmi Narayan and Sitaram, they are saints. But for me, I prefer Sitaram. He has eternal relationship with Sitaram. Who was that in Chaitanya Lila Murari? That Lord Chaitanya would say, he was always chanting the name, he was Ram Bhakta. He was always chanting the name of Ram. And Lord Chaitanya said that actually, you know, original personality, all expansions, comes from Krishna. Even Ram comes. So you should chant Krishna's name. So Murari was, he was very submissive to Lord Chaitanya. He said, all right, I'll chant. But he became a little, but he wanted to chant Ram. And he humbly went before Lord, you know, I'm chanting Krishna, it's very nice, but I like to chant Ram more. And Lord Chaitanya said, oh, that's all right. You can chant Ram. I was just testing you. What is your devotion to Ram? So everyone who is liberated, they've got their particular relationship, as mentioned here by Prabhupada, as mentioned also, that the Lord sits in the heart of the very, very advanced devotee. But, of course, here Lord Brahma says that the devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing. And then their hearts become cleansed. So Prabhupada explains here that is a, generally for most of those who take up the path of the devotional service, it's a gradual process. Gradual process. Of course, there's some rare devotees who they are, come from the spiritual realm, they are on the mission, they are empowered by the Supreme Personality. They're right from the very birth, they are like Mahabhagavat. They are like Shaktivisha. They are empowered. They are not so common. But for most devotees, we're beginning, and then we have to go along the path. So, now here it is said that here in this verse, it's particularly mentioned, Tram Bhakti Yoga Paribhavita. This indicates that the efficiency is achieved through execution of mature devotional service or prema, love of God. This state of prema is achieved by the gradual process of development from faith to love. On faith, one associates with bona fide devotees, and by such association, one can become engaged in bona fide devotional service, which includes proper initiation and the execution of the primary devotional duties prescribed in the revealed scriptures. So, Shrute Chitta. The beginning is to hear from the bona fide devotees. Hear from the bona fide devotees. Sadhu Sangha. Very, very important. Lord Chaitanya said, for everyone, generally, there's two things. Chanting chanting, hearing, and prasadam—three things. So how to do the chanting? Anyone can do chanting, but who is going to continually do the chanting? What is that prayer in the Shikshashtakam that Lord Chaitanya says? How we can continually chant? Sinadapi sunichina turapi sahish amani namanadina kirtani asarari. So what does he say? Sinadapi sunichina. Grass. More humble? One had to, if one wants to always be chanting, one has to be more humble than the straw in the street. More humble than the straw in the street. The straw, just think of that. The straw, everyone walks on the straw. It is the lowest. It's got no use. What can you do with the straw? So I remember there was one pastime with Rupa Goswami and his brother Anupam came to meet Lord Chaitanya in what then was called Prayag, now Allahabad. So at that time, Lord Chaitanya was traveling all the holy places. And he was such personality that many thousands and thousands and tens of thousands started to follow him. He was so full of love of God. Many tens of thousands. There was huge crowds. So when Rupa and Anupam came to meet with him, they couldn't come close to him because there's too many people. Too many. There was the sea of the people. Some were chanting with Lord Chaitanya. Some were crying. Some were taking the dust from his lotus feet. Some were rolling on the ground. But at that time, Lord Chaitanya, he was staying in a Brahmana's house that he'd met in another holy place. That Brahmana invited him to stay in his house when he came to the Prayag. So after Lord Chaitanya went back to the house, then Rupa and Anupam went to meet with him. And as they came with the straw in their teeth and offering obeisances. That's how they came before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. With the straw in the teeth and like that. And when they came before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Rupa Goswami gave many glorification prayers. And it was at that time that he gave the famous prayer that we all, Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namni Guru Tuzinama. He gave that prayer, isn't it? You are the most magnanimous. You are the most beautiful. You are freely distributing Krishna Prema everywhere without discrimination. In that Krishna, when Krishna came, he said, you surrender unto me and I will protect you from all. But Lord Chaitanya, surrender doesn't surrender. He is just giving. This is the special significance of incarnation of Lord Chaitanya. He is devotee. If someone would say, you are the Supreme, you are the Supreme Lord Vishnu, no, he would, no, I am not. But Rupa Goswami, he knew, Sanatana Goswami, some privileged devotees. So devotees like this, they are very humble. They are very advanced. The Lord, out of love, subordinates himself to them. If the devotee desires to reciprocate with the Lord in a special way, the Lord, out of love he has for his devotee, he reciprocates. Someone may be, of course, everyone has got their, as Prabhupada explains, Swarup Siddhi. Swarup Siddhi means, what is your eternal relation, original position with Krishna? Everyone. All of us have original position with Krishna. Some are serving in the Shantaras, some in the Dasyaras, some in the Sakyaras, some in the Vatsalyaras, some in the Madhuryaras. And situated in the spiritual world, what is our original? Now we're here, now we've forgotten everything. But originally, we have our relationship with the Supreme Personality of God, Swarup Siddhi. That is there. Now it is covered with so many layers of the material conditioning. But it's still underneath. If one cleanses the heart, that's for when their hearts become cleansed, you take your seat. It means the Lord manifests himself more and more. Yeya tam ram prapadyante tam sataiva bhajamyaham. As they surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. So when one becomes cleansed, the Lord is manifesting. But the original Swarup Siddhi, your original form, and your relationship with the Supreme Personality is always, it's eternal. It is now covered. It is not manifest. It is dormant. Of course, through engaging in bhakti yoga, you become purified, and that becomes manifest when one reaches the topmost levels. Of course, it is said, we are very fortunate because of the incarnation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It said, because of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even your Swarup Siddhi, you may have been in the Shanta Ras or Dasya Ras or Sakya Ras, Vatsalya Madhurya Ras. You may have been in a particular Ras, that is your eternal. But by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, if one develops his love of God and follows in the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya, then Lord Chaitanya can bring one to the position of Madhurya Ras by his mercy. Madhurya Ras. So this is the movement of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One may have had their Swarup Siddhi. What is your position? But now, if you become a great follower. Now, interestingly enough, there was one in the Nabudweep Mahatmya. There's my Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He relates the story of Jiva Goswami wanting to do the parikrama of Namadweep and going with Lord Nityananda. And Lord Nityananda was explaining, Jiva Goswami was asking many questions, and of course when he went, Lord Nityananda was explaining all the different pastimes, all the different places. And Jiva Goswami was asking about Vrindavan, Sridhar Mayapur, What is the difference between Vrindavan and Mayapur? Actually, Lord Nityananda said, actually, there's no difference. This Mayapur Dham is a manifestation of Srimati Radharani's desire in her love for Krishna, in separation of Krishna. So Mayapur Dham is a desire of Srimati Radharani. I don't know if you know this story, but one time when Krishna was with Viraja, another gopi, he was enjoying, the news got back to Srimati Radharani. Of course, internally, Radharani is very happy when she can arrange herself even some pastimes with other devotees, other gopis even. But externally, she became very angry. Krishna's with another gopi, Viraja. Some of her gopi friends told her. So they all went there, confront Krishna and Viraja. And so, as they were coming, then of course Krishna knowing, and Viraja also knew, she turned herself into a river. And Krishna just disappeared. So when by the time Radharani got there, both were gone. Because she knew. She knew what happened. So, oh, this Viraja, I know she's looking at the river. And she's turned herself into a river. And Krishna, he's disappeared. But then she was looking at her kunja, the area. Oh, this is such a beautiful place. I can understand why Krishna comes here. She is very beautiful. And her kunja is so beautiful. I understand why Krishna likes to come. I have to make a place even more beautiful than here. So then Krishna will be very attracted to come to that place. So she went back, and with her gopi friends, and by her mystic power, she created a very beautiful place with beautiful trees and gardens and birds and beautiful animals. She called the Ganga and Jamuna, and they came and surrounded it and everything like that. She sat down and she began to play a very sweet melody on a flute. And so Krishna was observing everything, and he couldn't remain invisible when Krishna Radharani started playing. He manifested himself. And so he came, oh, you have made such a beautiful place. It's so nice. He said, this is like another Braja. This is like Navabraja. It's so beautiful. Actually, I'll make it even more beautiful. Because in the future, I'm going to appear and in an incarnation that never appeared before. And I want a nice abode. And I will send this abode there. So he made it even more beautiful. He said, now, so beautiful trees, animals, the Ganga Jamuna. It's like another Braja here. And it's, but because you've made like surrounded by the rivers, it is like an island. It is Navadvipa. Navadvipa. So there's that about. So that actually. So Lord Nityananda says actually there's no difference. This is Radharani's mood of love of in separation of Krishna is highest. No difference. But actually, if one comes here, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even though we possess so many such offensive mentality, he accepts us and purifies us if we engage in chanting, dancing, and engaging in devotional service. Lord Nityananda said, actually, we cannot enter into the depths of Vrindavan Leela in our position. We are too full of the Nam Aparad. Too full. We cannot enter deep. That Vrindavan will not be revealed to someone like that. There is a film of the material energy that is covering. And you will only see like that. You will only see this thing. I remember there was one morning walk. Prabhupada was walking with the disciples. And one disciple said to Prabhupada, you know, when I walk here, and I know this is the land of Krishna and everything, but when I walk here, I see the pigs, I see the dirty, I see the broken building. I see so many things. I see like that. I don't see. I cannot have the appreciation. And Prabhupada said, yes, this is because you have the speck in the eye. You have the speck in the eye. And so the disciple started rubbing his eye. And then Prabhupada laughed. He said, no, not like that. He said, the speck means the speck of the material desires. The speck of the material desire. When you are purified of the material desire, then Krishna will reveal what is the holy Dham. He will reveal himself. Srimati Radharani will be kind on you. Then they will reveal. But Lord Nityananda said, now we are too full of the Nam Aparad. Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually advises that one should go to Vrindavan Dham just for a short visit because we may commit, if we are still full of the offenses, and that if we go there, we may commit more offences. This is a very grave situation. So, but go to Sridhar Mayapur. Sridhar Mayapur, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he will bring you to the level of Sudana, freedom from offence. He will purify you. He will bring you to the topmost levels. And actually, don't try to go to Madhurya Rasa or something like that. We are not qualified in Madhurya Rasa. That is Radharani, that is Gopis. We are not qualified. Don't try to artificially set. But you worship Lord Chaitanya in Dasya Ras. Dasya Ras. Even with Lord Chaitanya, don't try to... Lord Chaitanya himself, he is in the mood of Radharani. And he is in Madhurya Ras. He is experiencing it. But he said, don't imitate like that. Don't imitate Lord Chaitanya. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya was very careful to manner. He wouldn't, you know, when he was very feeling great ecstasy in intimacy in that mood, he wouldn't, around ordinary people, he wouldn't show. Only with very intimate devotees. So Lord Nityananda said that you should worship Lord Chaitanya in Dasyaras, as a servant, and in awe and reverence, with great respect. That's like we do. Gornitai, we put in Lord Chaitanya, and we worship Lord Chaitanya in Dasya Ras. It's like Prabhupada. And next month we're going to have the 40th anniversary of the opening of the temple where Prabhupada came and installed Srisi Gornitai. And worshipping. He didn't try to make some Madhurya Ras thing. No, that is later. Later. Don't try. Don't try for that. If one has to try for that, then you are not on that level. You understand? You have to try. Because if one is on that level, automatically, naturally, he will be on. He doesn't have to force anything. But if you have to try to be like that, then you are not there. You understand? So this is what is explained here by Prabhupada. For generally, ādo, śrādhā, tarasadhu, saṅgho, tā, bhajanākriyā, we have to follow the process as given by the bona fide devotees. Bona fide devotees will always give you the process. First of all, you know, someone has got some faith by hearing. By hearing, we hear. Just like most of us who became devotees. By hearing, we see by hearing. So when we hear the transcendental message, we hear the transcendental sound vibration, become purified out. Intelligence become purified to the higher level, to the spiritual. We start to awaken the spiritual aspect of our intelligence. Now our intelligence is engaged in so many material things, but we start to awaken. It's not fully awakened yet, but we start to awaken. Oh, some spiritual thing. What is that? We start to hear more and more. We get some sort of strata, some faith in these things. We want to go further. We want to go further. Then, of course, sadhu sangha. Ādo śrādhā, tada sadhu sangho, tada sadhu sangho, sadhu sangha. Sadhu sangha must be associating with devotees. And especially if one can associate with advanced devotees. Very, very important. Advanced devotees. There's all different. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, actually, there are four levels of entities. He said there are, there are just the ignorant. And then, of course, there's some who are religious. They are pious. And then there are those who are devotees, they're beginning devotees. Then there are those who are intermediate devotees. He said, actually, five of them. And then there are very, very great devotees, Mahabhagavat devotees. They are very high, high devotees. He said, they are, by just their presence, sadhu sangha, sadhu sangha, sava shashrakaya, lava matra, sadhu sangha, sava siddhi hoy. Just a moment of their association can change your whole life. Can change your whole life. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he, of course, is incarnation of Krishna. But he is so powerful, it is said that if he just could, he would look at you, you would get the Krishna prema. That's why looking at you. But don't try to imitate. Go looking at everyone. Some try to imitate like that, you know, they want to touch or they want to hug or something. You know, and they want, and then all of a sudden, bzz, you've got the electricity. And you are now on the liberated. No, it's not like that. That's not so cheap. Just like the disciple who wanted to, you know, get the speck from his eyes. Probably not like that. You have to cleanse. Gradual process. So we should understand this. Because at the end, actually, Prabhupada says very interestingly, the Lord is never visible to the pseudo-devotees. He remains concealed to non-devotees, even casual devotees. Even casual devotees, what to speak, even, he doesn't reveal. He reserves the right. He is actually prema, he is love. He actually reciprocates with love, pure love. He is pure. He is pure, and he is pure love. So he actually reciprocates with pure love. So those who are ignorant, and those, like we said, mudho and naam prakasas, the mudhas, or even the demigod worshippers, or even, just beginning casual devotees, they're more interested in the material things, but they're not so interested. They are mixed devotees, mixed. And priority is material things, not and a little bit on the spiritual thing. Even to them, he doesn't. When one is very, very advanced, Krishna does so many. He looks after that devotee. Whatever he wants, he will give immediately. Nami bhakta jana pata nami bhaktas chajin man bhaktanam chiva yemi bhakta tamam. He who says he is devotee is not my devotee. But he who says he is a devotee of my devotee, that one is my devotee. So we have to take shelter of the great devotees. Great devotees, just by their presence, one word can change everything. Prabhupada one time said, there's a difference between just general devotee and great devotee. He said, great devotee, minimum words, maximum effect. General devotee can be maximum words, no effect. Can be. Anyway, but great devotee. So therefore, association can be vapu, can be vani. You can get the personal associate. But actually, Prabhupada always said vani is more important. The instructions. Taking shelter of the lotus feet, acharyas explain. What is taking shelter? Hearing the instruction and following the instruction. Hearing and following. Yeah, that's very important. You're hearing, but actual hearing means you follow it. Just like one time, one disciple, Prabhupada, Prabhupada had dictated a letter, and then he had done it wrongly, and he'd sent it. So it was a very important thing. And so Prabhupada found out. He said, you sent that letter and a very important thing. And now what will be the situation? I am very sorry, Prabhupada. I am such a fool. I am such a rascal. I have done the wrong thing. And Prabhupada wasn't satisfied. He kept looking at him. And then he said that, yes, but how long will you remain rascal? But then it's like, Prabhupada, then what I'll do, I'll send another letter and explaining the situation and correcting the thing. Probably. All right, very good, do that. So, hearing and then acting. This is proper hearing. This is the perfection of the hearing. Acting and then following. Yeah, don't be impatient. Be patient. Sometimes, all the time, actually. we're going and then sometimes we're going to the side. We've got so much conditioning. Another disciple said to Prabhupada, sometimes I'm Krishna conscious, but sometimes I get in Maya. Prabhupada stopped. He was walking in Juhu, Bombay. And Prabhupada said, actually the situation is, most of the time you're in Maya and sometimes you're in Maya. Shouldn't get puffed up. His words were, most of the time I'm Krishna conscious, sometimes I'm in Maya. Then Prabhupada correct that. Most of the time you're in Maya, sometimes you're Krishna conscious. But nevertheless, whatever the situation, you persevere. You continue. Whatever happens, never give up. Never give up. When Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was leaving this world, some of the disciples were there. He said, when I leave, I am the guru. He said, many will leave. But then he looked at them and he said, but you should stay. So the idea is that we should all stay. Whatever the situation, keep going on, always taking association of devotees, always doing the chanting, following the proper process, gradually, have faith. You know, we've had millions of lives. In one life, you know, it's not so long. But it can be. The process is so powerful, so potent, that can be in one life, the end of one life, you can go back home, back to God. This is the beauty of this process coming down, especially from the time of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just do this chanting, do this dancing, take the prasadam. And, of course, to continue being able to do that, then the acharyas give explanation. You follow these things, and this will be very helpful and keep you in the position where you will always be humble and be able to continue this process. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Thank you so much. Humility and self-deprecation, how to separate that? How should we not lead to that?
Well, I mean, you know, there's a difference in meaning as far as the dictionary definitions. Self-deprecation means that sometimes even advanced devotees, they criticize themselves. I'm so puffed up. I am so attached to the sense enjoyment. They may not be, but sometimes they. That's more like self-deprecation. That's, keeping oneself humble by saying things or doing things. There's just a subtle difference between the two. And humility actually is not so easy. Humility to actually come to the humble position. You have to follow the process of the Krishna program. And the humility is there within all of us, but it's covered. So we have to uncover it. Cleansing the cheto dharpana marjanam. Cleansing is covered. The humility will become more and more when the coverings of material conditioning become cleansed, and then the heart is clean, and the heart is shining, and the humility will naturally be there.
Material
desires, blocking us, our material attachments. We are not experiencing the actual position of prema. Sometimes we get different experiences little tiny drop. Prabhupada once said, sometimes Krishna, in reciprocation with you, gives you tiny drops of love of God. They are just small little drops. We feel great ecstasy. It's just a slight. Keep you enthused. Little drop. You're not actually in the ocean of prema yet. You're just getting a few drops here and there. Because actually, we have to purify ourselves to go into the ocean. We're not of that yet. But Krishna gives you a few drops to draw you in further and further. I was just reading about yesterday, I think it was Abhiram Thakur's appearance day. And he was formerly Sridham in the spiritual world. And then he came to the material, Lord Nityananda came and brought him to the material world. And he became Abhiram Thakur. And he had a whip that was said to be possessed. And wherever he whipped someone with his whip, they would get the dose of Krishna praying. So who was it that, I think it was Srinivas. Srinivas came there one time to see him, to take darshan. And he touched him with his whip. He whipped him. And Srinivas felt great prema. Oh. And then again he did. And again he did. Oh, he was. Then his wife, I forget his wife's name. But his wife said, don't do any more. He won't be able to handle so much ecstasy. But Krishna gives you some drops every now and again. But when one's running very advanced, he's in an ocean of Krishna prema. Ocean.
Well, that's
mentioned about
jivas living in the material world for millions of years. Mm. But why do we don't remember our past lives?
What's that?
Why don't we remember our past lives?
Because otherwise, we every life is new. So therefore, Krishna takes the remembrance. So then you can start again. Of course, some special, they're given the memory, they remember. But generally, all of us, we have to go now. And then, because, you know, let's say you, in this life, you were acting very much like the pig. So next life, you have to be the pig. So imagine if you could remember, oh, last life I was in the big house. Now I'm the pig, you will be very depressed. So God is very kind in you, it takes that. You live like the pig before. Now you can fully, and you with enthusiasm also. So therefore I'm taking away the memory. Not us. Great Mahabhagavats, they do like that. We have to worship in form as given to us. You know, because the great Mahabhagavats, they have their eternal relationship with the form of the Lord. And to fulfill their desires, Krishna appears, even while in the world, he can appear in their hearts in that form as they desire. So he reciprocates with them. These are great, and it's actually mentioned here at the end of his purport. He reciprocates with them out of his love for them, out of their love for him and his love for them. They have eternal, and so they might want to, just like Hanuman. You know, there's one story of Hanuman. I said how Hanuman always likes to do the kirtan. One time when of course, after Ravan was killed, they all went back to Ayodhya, Lord Ram, Sita, everyone. Hanuman also went. And, you know, Ram and Sita were giving charity to everyone. But then in the end, after all the Brahmins came, everyone received the charity, then Sita said, oh, we haven't given anything to Hanuman. And then the Lord Ram said, oh, you've got a very nice pearl necklace. Give him the pearl necklace. So she gave the pearl necklace to Hanuman. Hanuman took. And he just started looking at it, playing with it, started biting on it like this, like that. And it broke. It went all over the floor. So some of the ministers, some of the persons of the royal, Ram, he brought this Hanuman, he's a monkey. He's all right in the forest for like that, but here in the royal palace, he's not very suitable. Maybe, you know, he should look what he's done to the necklace. But so Ram overheard and he said, you know, Hanuman, some are doubting your love for me. Show them your love. And it was, you know, that painting where he's opening his chest. He's opening his chest, and in the chest, in the heart, he's opening his chest, in his heart, there's Ram, Sitaram, Lakshman, he's also there, Hanuman. In his heart is the form of Ram. And then again, in that heart, there's another form of the Ram. You know that painting, that's a very famous painting. So Hanuman is very devoted to Lord Ram. Another story that at the same time, that there was one yajna ceremony, and so they were waiting, and Sita hadn't come. So Ram said, please, Sita, bring Sita, we need to start the ceremony. So Hanuman went, and Sita was putting on the sindoor there. Red. So he said, what is that? And she was in a hurry. She knew she was late. So Ram likes this, and she just went. So then after a while, Hanuman came, and he was covered, the whole body. You know, you see the form of Hanuman in India, the temple, something all orange, like that is from that. He said, well, and then Sita said, what have you done? Said, well, you said Lord Ram likes this, so why just here? I put a whole one. So he is like that. So in his heart is Lord Ram. Normally, Paramatma is there in the form of four-handed Vishnu. You understand? And even then we can't see because we are too blinded by the material desires. But then for the pure devotee, he appears in the heart, and the form that he is worshipping. So that is for the great devotees. We have to just follow the process. We cannot be like that. Don't try to jump like that. You have to be Hanuman first before you can jump like that.
Yes. Yes. Maharaji mentioned in the class that we have our original constitutional position, whatever it is.
Swarup Siddhi.
Yes. But
You have. Because we have our relationship with the Krishna maybe in the dasya ras, or you know with a servant, or sakya, or maybe we're a friend. But Lord Chaitanya, he is in the madhurya ras. By his mercy, he can bring one from your eternal rasa. If you become the follower, you become imbibed with his mood. His mood is madhurya ras. So you are the follower. You start to come up to the pure high levels of praying in the madhurya ras. So by his mercy and by taking his mood, your eternal rasa, by his mercy, can be changed to the madhurya rasa. And it is said like that. Prabhupada said on a few occasions that by his mercy, we have our Swarup Siddhi, but it can be changed to madhurya rasa instead of other rasa. This is a special mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're very lucky to go to the highest level, madhurya rasa. Yes, Mother. Now that Swarup Siddhi is covered, and it's not there. One has a particular nature that is affected by the conditioning of the world, and is attracted by different methods. At the same time, one has a piety that wants to worship God. But by your nature, you want to worship God in a different way, and that nature is by the conditioning of the world. But therefore, the different sampradayas are there, and God is presented in different ways. To cater to be made available to people with a different nature. You understand? So it's not the Swarup Siddhi that you don't feel yet. That is buried. Otherwise, if everyone's being affected by the Swarup Siddhi, why all living entities aren't affected by the Swarup Siddhi? Why only the ones who want to go to the Sampradaya? If the Swarup Siddhi was playing a role in the conditioned stage, then, you know, all the living entities in the world, even the dogs and the cats, and that they would have a proclivity for following the Sampradaya. So Swarup Siddhi comes when it's uncovered, and it's in the high level. But the nature comes from the conditioning. And so because of our nature, then God manifests and gives the teaching in the different ways over the different time, and then one is attracted to one or the other. But we're very lucky that Lord Chaitanya has come and he's taken us up in a particular way. Yeah.
Maharaj, when you say that guru, shishya, disciple and guru relationship is eternal, so in my previous life, for example, let's say I was, because of my conditioned nature, I was attracted to Sri Sampradaya, but this lifetime I have come in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, then how will that guru shishya relationship continue?
It's causeless mercy. Causeless mercy. Here it is said like this. Your causeless mercy, what is it? Where is it here? Oh yeah, here it is. Daya. Of course, doyaya. And this word is used, doya. Doya means... Lord Chaitanya's causeless mercy, I mean, there's no reason, you can't understand the reason. But even to follow other sampradayas, they are still existing, and those who are following good services, some are more stronger than others. Three sampradayas are very strong. Rudra sampradaya, is not so active. And Kumara sampradaya, some still. But it's becoming a little bit lost. So Lord Chaitanya came to revive the interest in the love of God. And by his causeless mercy, he's bringing so many from whatever situation they come from to come to the level of madhurya ras. So it's by his causeless mercy only. There's no explanation. Just by, he doesn't discriminate what condition you're in, who you're with before. Everyone can come to this topmost position. Sri Sampradaya, Lakshmi Narayan, awe and reverence. But by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, you can go even to the madhurya ras. And this is a special mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All right. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Balabha Bhagwan ki jai, Lord Vimanandi ki jai.